And as we forge further ahead, today's daf is daf Kuf Zayin, and we're right at the beginning of a brand new parak. We're going to begin discussing some of the details of the laws of Miyun. Now remember what Miyun is all about. The Torah did not give an option to a Ketana to get married on her own. The only time a Ketana could be married is if her father accepted Kedushin for her. However, if she has no father, if the father's rights to Kedushin had already been used up, and now here she is, a Ketana, unmarried, and in a precarious position, because unmarried Ketanas are easily taken advantage of, Chazal were koveya that a mother or a brother could accept Kedushin for her, which is only Kedushin to Rabbanan, with the additional stipulation that she should never be trapped by such a Kedushin, and that whenever she wants out, all she has to do is to be Mima in it. Miyun simply consists of, I don't like him and I want out. And as soon as she goes into court and says that, the marriage is not simply cancelled from this point forward, which would be a case of a get. The marriage is completely annulled as if it never happened retroactively. And before we discuss this mission, let's just remember some of the terminology. So that's being a miyun. And we also have, of course, the concepts of erisin, kedushin. Erisin is the same as kedushin, so it's the first stage of marriage, which is accomplished perhaps by giving a ring or money or shtar or by actual intercourse. But it does not provide for the rights to continue to live together as man and wife until such time as we do nisuin, which is the actual taking into the home or to go into the chuppah. And then we have the additional point, which is the question of ma'amar. Ma'amar, remember, is when somebody gives kedushin to yevaba, which creates a state that's according to almost everyone is a derabbanan type of marriage. And in that case, perhaps it would be open to miyun, ma'iktana, at least the ma'amar part. And we have the idea called zika. And zika, of course, is the definition of the state that the Torah creates when a woman is left as a widow by a husband who dies and leaves no children. And in that case, the Torah creates a relationship between her and the brothers. The question, of course, once again, is whether miyun would affect that relationship at all. Taking all that into consideration, let us begin the Mishnah. Miyun can be done only when there was only a kedushin that was involved. But in the case where Bezdin has someone now who was already after the chuppah, and now she wants out of the marriage and wants to cancel it, that can't be done. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim makes absolutely no difference what stage the marriage is. Arusot and Nisuot, both stages, the first stage of Kiddushin, which is Arusos, and the second stage of Nisuin, Chuppah, you can always go ahead and simply annul it through Yibum. The second machlok is that according to Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai Omrim, Miyun is only effective the Baal. There is no way for a Yavam, so let's say a person who was married and then died, now his widow, who is a Ketana, didn't have a father, and she falls off for Yibum. She had never been met, and that's while her husband was alive, and now she wants to get rid of the Yavam. It doesn't help. It's too late already. She says, Beit Shammai, she should have done this while he was alive. And therefore, she needs a Chalitza, and with all the various other dinim of the Chalitza. It's only Bival. Whereas, according to Beit Hillel, it's, by the way, some have just the gears of Bival, but that means Bival alone, Beit Hillel Omrim, Bival uviyavam. It's possible to be Mima'in in a living husband, and it's also possible if the husband died, and she was married as an orphan, so she could do as a Ketana, she can reject her Yavam by basically uprooting the very marriage that led to the requirement for the Yavam and Chalitza. And then there's a third machlokas, Beit Shammai Omrim, Miyun is only to be done bifanav, that the husband has to be present, but there's certainly, she can't just walk in and be minus. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, bifanav, v'shelo bifanav. It doesn't matter whether the husband is there, or the husband is not there. We allow her to be minus, and we don't want his presence necessarily to influence one way or the other. And another machlokas, so we have four machlokas in here. According to Beit Shammai, a miyun has to be bebezdin. According to Beit Hillel, bebezdin, v'shelo bebezdin. There's no specific chiyuv that we should need three judges to be mamanin. But the reason, if according to Beit Shammai, that we would require this is because that if there is, since called the ma'ad token rabbonin, kein d'oraisa token, so that means that even though miyun is basically a drabbonin fiction, because the marriage is a drabbonin fiction, nonetheless, we take a look at it and view it as if it were a deraisa. When we dissolve a relationship only through speech, such as a chalitza, needs to be done in front of Bezdin, so too does this derabbanan have to be done in front of Bezdin. According to Beit Shammai, we'll see later on why they argue, we do not need a Bezdin. Another thing is that a ruling, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Lema'enes v'ktana filo arba'a v'chamesh pa'amim. If she was Lema'enes, and then she went ahead and got married to another Kohen, she could be Lema'enes to him, and do this again and again. So some learn that this is a raya that Basil is bringing. That's why it's not brought as a machlokas, it's just brought as a said to them. Because it couldn't be that such a thing would take place in Besdin. Because if this was going on in Besdin, it would be a chuk of a tula. And therefore Besdin would never accept it. Whereas Beit Shammai said, on the contrary, Beit Yisrael Hefker. What do you think they are? They're just like, we could play games with Benot Yisrael to pretend that they're married and then annul the marriage and whether we treat them like prostitutes. She could do this once in the Besdin, and she can be Memenes, and then she has to wait, and she becomes old enough until she's able to actually get married midiraisa. We certainly can't just do it. And at that point, let her then go ahead and get married again properly. Why, again, it requires another mian when she's older, that we're going to see in the Gemara. That's certainly the mashma'ut, let her do Memenes and get married again. Now let's try to figure out what the reason is for the first machlokas of the five. I'm Rabbi Yonah Mishmur. My time of Beit Shammai, what is the reason for Beit Shammai's first opinion over here? That it's only possible to do Mion on an Erisin and not on a Nisuin? That's because Lufisha ain't an Iben Nisuin. Even if a person had gotten married by Kiddushin with a stipulation, once they go ahead and go to the Chuppah and they actually go to bed together, we consider that all bets are now off. In other words, whatever it was that before they were not quite sure about, made the marriage dependent on, is now considered to be behind us. And they've accepted each other by virtue of their having slept together. Since that's the case, once there's a nisuin, you cannot do a bittul, which is basically an annulment, very similar to mion, right? If you didn't keep a tanai, you didn't keep a stipulation, the marriage is simply annulled, it doesn't require a get. Therefore, if we were allowing nisuat to be ma'en, as inisuat to ma'en, people who see a marriage dissolved without a get will assume that this is the equivalent of any other stipulation. They may think that that's the reason she went out without a get. It wasn't because she was a ketana. It may be because there was a tanai. So apparently a tanai helps even after the chuppah. Says the Gemara, but wait, if that's the case, how about if nichlas al chuppah v'lo nivla? Ma'ik l'meimar. What are you going to say about a case where she was taken to the chuppah? But they hadn't slept together. Since the whole svara over here is that there's no tanai ben nisuin, it's only because they've actually gone to bed together. Then in this particular case, Beit Shammai should have said that there's no problem and that she could be b'ma'enis in that case. Answers the Gemara, that's because the fishein tanai b'chuppa. The truth is, it isn't only in the actual sexual relations that people are just ready to give in to each other and accept each other completely. But there's also something that is known as the chiba, which is a certain level of closeness and acceptance that is involved in going to the chuppah alone. And there, too, they're not going to maintain their demands for the keeping of a stipulation. And the tanai will be bottle for nisuin, whether that nisuin is achieved through bia or that nisuin is achieved only through chuppah and no more than that. So Beit Shammai can't allow mian because of that, even after chuppah, even without bia, because people may say, look at this, even though they already went to the chuppah, there was no get, and she walked out a couple weeks later, not realizing that that's because it was the marriage of a ketana. Says the Gemara, okay, how about then, if that's the logic, Masar Ha'av L'Shluchei Ha'Bal? How about where the father handed over his daughter to the shliach that the husband had sent to take her? My Eagle Nehema, what are you going to say in a case like that? Because one way of achieving Nisuin is indeed by officially handing over the woman from the father to the shluchim. But there's certainly no chiba in that case. The person is not even involved. It's done by agents, male or bride. And in that sense, it shouldn't be able to create a problem. And for some reason, Beit Shammai doesn't say that you can't have mion after a case of bia or after a case of chuppah. It says you can't have mion under cases of nisuin, no matter how that nisuin is achieved. So the Gemara, you're right, but lo plug rab on it. We can't start making different dinim depending on different types of nisuin. There's three ways to have nisuin: bia, chuppah, or mesira to the shulchan. All of the same halacha applies to the three cases, and therefore, since Beit Shammai is concerned about the mistake that may be made to allow a tanai in certain conditions, so he already made the gezerah under all conditions. And according to Beis Hillel, or Beit Hillel, who say that it's okay and they're not worried about this, that's because, says Beit Hillel, look, people know that if we're dealing over here with the katana, it's only a drabonon, and people understand the difference between niyun, and the first thing that occurs to them when they see a young girl is that the girl, not that there was some type of tanai, but rather that indeed this was a katana, and that she's an orphan, and it's known, and that her marriage indeed was annulled because of the fact that she was mamanis. We don't have to make a gezeira. So this is one approach to the first machlokas in the Mishnah as to whether miyun works for nisuin or only for erisin. There's another explanation of the first machlokas, Rabba Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayo. Time of the Beit Shammai, the real reason of Beit Shammai is different. It's Levi She'en Adam Osebi Yilato Yilat Zimut. No man wants to be in a position in which he's actually having intercourse with a woman who may subsequently turn out not to be married to him, which basically means that all he's been doing is shacking up with a woman, and he's uncomfortable with that. And therefore, if we would allow a katana to do miyun even after bia, so what would happen is that people would not take a katana because they don't want to be viewed as people who just basically taking advantage of katanas. And therefore, there would be no point in the whole takana, because the whole point of takana is that we want men to be marrying these katanas in order to protect them. Therefore, says Beit Shammai, it's not worth it. Let us not make that chelak of the takana. Says the Gemara, so according to that logic, we have the same problem that we had before. How about if the nisuin wasn't achieved through sleeping with her, but she just went to the chuppah and they never slept together? What's the problem over there? Why wouldn't Beit Shammai allow miyun, since over there there's no element of znus at all? We should still give her the opportunity to be mevatel the marriage. That's because, says the Gemara, the tavi chuppah d'isra. A person does not want their chuppah to be looked at possibly as a joke and a chuppah of something that's awesome, but he's taking a girl that is not, it's basically, you know, they're going to be sleeping together. It's an embarrassment. We're making a big deal over here where it may turn out tomorrow that this whole thing was a joke and that it was just a way of preparing a pretend marital bed for me to take a little girl to bed. And therefore, that too would discourage people from doing a real marriage for a katana, and they would just be viewed as child abusers instead of as protectors of katanas. Yes, the Gemara, well, how about Masara Av L'Shulchei Habal, Ma'ikel Meimer? Well, what are you going to say about a case of simply handing over? I mean, certainly not going to say over there that people look at it as a ceremony and they make a joke of it and so on. And yet, Beit Shammai didn't make any distinction. He said no matter how it is that nisuin is achieved, and it should be considered to be something that makes miyun impossible. Certainly this case is just a technicality. Why would miyun be impossible? And here too, the Gemara answers, Lo Plug Rabbanon. Either we're going to allow miyun for nisuin or we're not going to allow miyun for nisuin. You've got to start making these distinctions. Therefore, says Beit Shammai, however nisuin is achieved, since in most of the ways that nisuin is achieved, it would be an embarrassment for the man, and he wouldn't want to go ahead with a marriage of a katana if he knew that she could be mamanis afterwards. Therefore, we made a standing gezeira that we don't accept miyun after the nisuin, and that's the way we created the mechanisms of the nisuin and erisin of a katana and the attendant mechanism of miyun. According to this, what was Beit Hillel's logic? Why, according to Beit Hillel, why do they allow miyun in all these cases, and they're not afraid that they may be undoing the whole purpose of the protection of the ketanis? Says Beit Hillel, because we don't agree with their Beit Shammai's view of human psychology. Given the Ika Kedushin Viktuva, look, the fact is that they're going ahead, and they're writing out a ketuvah, and they're going through a kedushin, and the whole deal, making a brach. I mean, people don't view the technicality of a retroactive now annulment of the marriage as somehow redefining what happened. It seems like a beautiful religious ceremony, and it's done just the way that we do a regular marriage, and therefore makes people feel good, and they're not going to feel the sense of snus that is normally people feel bad about when they're osik in a non-sanctified marriage. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa gives a different explanation of what Rav Shammai and Basil's Machloka says in the first Machlokas as to whether it's been a suin, also miyun, or only by erisin. Rav Papa said the reason that Beit Shammai says that you cannot do a miyun once they've already gone to the chuppah is time to Beit Shammai mishum peri. We don't want to give you the right over here of miyun then because we are worried about what will happen to the perot, to the production of the nichse melug of this ketana. Now, you recall that nichse melug is something which she herself owns, and if they get divorced, or he dies, then she gets whatever is left of that property as it is. And during the time of the marriage, the Baal takes care, and also he's able to keep all of the payrays, the profits on any level, from that property. However, if the value of the property goes up or anything like that, so then he gets none of that. And that goes all back to her. So basically the concern over here is that he may not take care of the property. He may just want to use it up and be able to get the most immediate advantage of it without investing in its value, because he's afraid that, look, I mean, at any time she could basically annul it, and I'm not going to be able to get it. So since Nichse Malug is not given Bichlal for Erisin, we don't have that worry over here if we allow an Arusa to do Mian. But once we're going to do allow an Asua, where already there's a transference of a Nichse Malug to the Baal, he may well destroy the property. So therefore, Beit Shammai says, we can't allow Mion after that point. Whereas Beis Hillel says, time of the Beis Hillel is exactly the same. Beis Hillel is worried also about the peri, the production value, out of Nichse Malug. Because the E-Amrit, here's their logic, the E-Amrit Nesua Tema'ein, Shomed Va'achil Amina. So time of the Beit Shammai, let's go one step at a time. Beit Shammai's reasoning is like this. If you allow the Mion to take place after Nesuin, then, and the suah could be mema'enes, the husband will grab what he can and run. So shavit, he will, basically means to grab, the ochelumine, and eat whatever he can, because his psychology is, look, so self to make vekaim. I mean, at any moment you could change your mind, get out, it's out of my hand, you know, she'll get tired of me and she'll walk away. And so, after mion, I'm going to have to give it all back to her, whatever there is. And so if that's the case, why should I invest in it in any way? So we don't want her to be open to those kind of losses, because he's not going to look at this property as his own and care for it. It's, even though Lamaisa, he's not going to lose if she is Mimaenes, because the halacha is that Lamaisa gets back anything that he invested, but why should he have any sense of achrayus, explains Taisos. And therefore, in time of Erisin, where there's no property to worry about, we allow Mian, but once it could cause damage, financial damage to her, we don't. Whereas Beit Hillel says, on the contrary, Adarabba. Since she has the keyach to be mema'en, you make it more likely that he'll take care of the property. He's going to invest in it properly. Because he thinks to himself, he figures, look, she's got lots of people on her side of the family. They're going to be looking out for her. And if he's not taking care and showing responsibility, they're going to say, what are you asking like that for? The guy's just going to ruin you, take what he can from you, and get rid of you. In order to, and at that point it's no problem to her, she could say, you know what, you're right, and just walk into Beis Din and say goodbye, or even not in Beis Din, which is part of the machlokes we'll get to later, and therefore the husband wants very, very much, as long as she can walk out on him, to make sure that he does puts on a good show of taking good care of her. So on the contrary, her rights of Mion after the soon have more of a chance of ensuring that she's going to be taken care of. Because otherwise, Ayatzele Krovea, their Krovim will give her an Eitzah, Umafkelamine, and then that way she's going to be taken away from him through her Mion. And now there's also another explanation. The fourth explanation is by Rava. Rava Omar, how in the time of the Beit Shammai? The real reason of Beit Shammai is because she'en adam tereach b'seudah u'mafsid. That's absurd for a person to invest in a wedding and to go ahead and make a chuppah and the whole deal if he knows that the next day she might basically go ahead, do Mion, and throw out his $100,000 wedding. And so why should he go ahead and do the wedding? And therefore, she can only be mema'enes as a rusa because he hasn't done anything yet, and that therefore it's not going to discourage people from a marriage. Who Beit Hillel? And what's Beit Hillel svara? Beit Hillel says tarvayu nechalu. It's not true. They are both willing to go through with the wedding. Kedeta leifakalayu kala deishas. People like to be known as a man and wife, and they are so much in favor of that, that even if afterwards, I mean, listen, people do this all the time, don't want to be married, and, you know, damn the consequences. And that's basically the way they're thinking about it. It's nice to be married. We'll worry about later. And so, marry in haste, and as they say, repent at leisure. Okay, the next machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is that Beit Shammai amrim bebaal, so only the baal, which implies, but not the yava. And Beit Hillel says, no, you can even do yibam to the yofa. Omar Rav Hoshaya, mima'enes lema'amaro, ve'ina ma'amenes lezikato. When Beis Hillel says that it's possible to do mion, we need to understand what mion means in terms of a yavama. So normally when we're talking about a gedela, what a ma'amar would mean is somebody went ahead and gave kedushin, and although that kedushin is not the equivalent of yibam, it does aser her on the other brothers, because there's a drabonon specific kedushin to him, to the one brother who gave that one Yavam of the brothers now, who gave the Kedushin. And even if he would give a get, at this point, he would only be able to cancel that Ma'amar. But the Zika would still be there, and she would still require a Chalitza. Now, of course, in this case, we're talking about the Yibam here of a Kitana. So what Rabbi Shaya wants to make it very clear is that when Beis Hillel say you can do a miyun, they don't mean that you can cancel the zika that is there from the first marriage, the zika to the yavam, and not need chalitza. That's not the pshat at all. Zika can never be affected by a miyun, says Rabbi Shaya. All that Beis Hillel meant to say is that if she was still a ketana, and the yavam went ahead and gave ma'amar to a ketana, so then for legabe, the ma'amar, she can cancel the ma'amar through miyun, and as far as the zika is concerned, the zika is still there. But you don't need a get to cancel now the ma'amar, which she would have needed if she was a gedela, but she's still going to need chalitza in order to be mevatel the zika. So what would be then the svara of Beit Shammai? I mean, why, Lamaisa, would we not be able to do a miyun at least to the ma'amar part, since that seems to be precisely the same as a miyun to a kiddushin? And so the svara that most Rishonim agree to is that the concept of miyun is that it actually allows her to go free. That's the whole point. She got caught in a relationship. We don't want her to get caught in a relationship, so we allow you to absolve her, to dissolve the relationship. But over here, since everybody's agreed that the miyun doesn't really do very much, all it does is get rid of the technicality of the ma'amar, but she's still stuck, and she's still going to require a chalitza. So in order to allow that to be dissolved, why would the chachomim be metaken a miyun at all? What's really the help for her to have a miyun? And it's not simply an extension of the normal dinim of miyunim to kiddushin, because this is not kiddushin. It's not really kiddushin, ma'amar. So that would be the machlokas, says Rav Oshai. So when she could be mema'enes, she's only mema'enes for ma'amar. But certainly there's no way that Beis Hillel said she could simply cancel the zika. Amar of Chista, my time in Rav Oshai. Why does Rav Oshai say this? Because he says like this, ma'amar d'mida'ata matya akra, ma'amar, which comes from her own das, she's matya akra, she can go ahead and she can tear that out, she can uproot it. Because ma'amar, by definition, is hers, it's equivalent to kiddushin. Mashenkin zika, the zika comes now from the fact that she had been married, not that she had agreed to yibum. So the zika part is ba'al korcha. And there, lo matya akra, why would she get the right to be oiker? Okeres, a zika, which was never hers in the first place. All that she's doing is saying when she's mema'enes is that which I initially agreed to. I made a mistake and I don't want. But over here, she never had agreed to anything of the sort. The zika was simply the result of the fact that she had been married to the other person. Okay? And this is the result of that marriage. And the zika, per se, requires chalitza. Yes, the Gemara, what about the haribia, the ba'al korcha? How about now, when the yibum now, is b'chayev her in Bia. And we know that b'chal, the din of Yibum, is that it's Ba'al Korcha. And it's a perfectly kosher Yibum. It says, Yavama Yavo Aleha, Aleha upon her, it's not Aleha, Aleha, which means Aleha filo Ba'al Korcha. So since it's possible to achieve now a Yibum itself, Ba'al Korcha, we would have assumed by your logic that there's no way to be oiker that type of marriage. And yet the halacha is matzi akra. She can certainly, after she goes and gets yibum, she can certainly be mima'enes in the yavam as much as she could have been mima'enes in her first husband. So it is possible now, that means, to use miyun even on a marriage that is done by okorcha. So why is the zika, according to Beit Hillel, any less than that, according to Rav Oshaya? So that doesn't really make all that much sense, says the Gemara. Ela must be instead that there is a different explanation. Why is it that it's possible now for her to be mima enes, which through bia or ma'amar, but not be mima enes to zika? It's because bia umamar tuhu ovid, over there the yavam achieves the bia and achieves the ma'amar. So there matzia akra, she can go ahead now and address whether she desires this yavam or not. Mashenken zika, which is essentially an application of the dinim of the Torah. The Torah creates zika. Once the Rabbanan say that she's married, so then by the rules of marriage, the zika appears. It's not simply a matter of Baal Korcha, but it's Baal Korcha without any other individual involved. The yavam isn't personally involved in zika. So over there, it's the Rachmanan Ramal. The Torah has created that zika. So she can't be oka that by telling us her opinion of the yavam. Ula Amar, Ula says, Rav Oshaya is wrong. I disagree. When it says over here, according to Beis Hillel, that she can be mima'enes, she can be mima'enes af lezika. So she can even be oker the zika, and therefore at that point she won't require the chalitza at all. My time up. Nisue kamoika akra. What she's doing by being mima'enes is not addressing the current state of the zika. What she's doing is, despite the fact that her husband is now no longer alive, what she's saying is that she does not desire a relationship that leads her into yibum, which means that she is now annulling the first marriage. And if the first marriage was never there, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, that there's an element of incipient yibum in every marriage.
So therefore, when she's mema'enes over here to the Yibum, what she's really doing is she's saying, I don't want a marriage that leads me to Yibum, and she's being okay at the original marriage, therefore there's no reason for her to fall to Yibum at all. So it's not that Rav Hoshaya and Ula are arguing as to what the situation is. In other words, even if she would say beferish, let's say, according to Rav Hoshaya, that now I want to be mema'enes not in my Yavam, I want to be mema'enes in the Nisuim HaRishon, to my husband. That's not going to help, according to Rav Hoshaya, because that marriage was completed, and what you're left with is a zika, which is not his business, and it comes by al-Kurcha, midiraisa, so to speak. In other words, it's min ha-Tera that is being applied to this marriage to Rabbanan. And according to Ula, also, it's not a pshat, because Ula is saying it's talking about a case in which. Because according to Ula, even if she didn't say that, that's how she wants to be okeres, the original Kedushin. But by saying that I don't want you to the Yavam, the way in which that works is saying that since it was my original marriage that brings you me to you, I don't want that which brings me to you. So it boils down to, whether it's so articulated or not, it boils down to a rejection and annulment of the original marriage. It means according to Ula, she was never married when she's mema'enes. She was never married even originally. And that means that lechora, she is in a position in which she can marry anybody without chalitza. So that we need to consider, according to that, it should mean that she'd never having been married to the brother, she should be now muteret to be married even to the people who were previously her brother-in-laws, because she's no longer married. She was never, ever married to the brother who is now deceased. Eisvei Rava Ula. So Rava brings proof against Ula from the Mishnah. Kol she'chola lema'en v'lo miyana. Right up in front of the Masech that we said, that if she was one of the Chamesh Esrei Arayot, and she could have been mema'enes, but didn't, v'lo miyana, so over there, tzarata choletzet v'lo mityabemet. The din over there is that the very fact that she could have been mema'enes and her husband means now that she was only married to Rabbanan, so therefore she can't possibly pater now her tzara because of the fact that she's an erva. So therefore, the tzara requires chalitza, but we can't give yibum because at least min rabbanan they were actually a tzara. The problem is, Amar, why in the world should the Mishnah have said such a thing? According to you, Ula, she should be allowed now. The whole mechanism is that she's okeres the nisuim harishonim. So why should we be mevatel the mitzvah of yibum? Let her go ahead right now and do yibum to mein hashta v'takrinel nisuim kaimoi. Why can't she do yibum and completely cancel the original Kedushin, in which case she never was the Erva that had been married now to at the same time as the Tzara. And in this case, there was no marriage, and let the Tzara go right ahead and be Mityabemet, Vetityabem Tzaratash, and she never was a Tzara of an Erva. So if the Mishnah doesn't give that as a possibility, it's clear that Ula is wrong, says the Gemara. Not necessarily. Tzara's Erva Shiny. The case over here, because of Tzara's Erva, is different. Because even though Lamaisa, it is possible for her, in a case where there is Zika, for her to completely annul the original Nisuin, it does not provide for the possibility to cancel a marriage that had prevented a tzar from getting married. Why is this? The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, because if you take a look what Rami Bar Yecheskel said in the Braisa, namely, that Miana Vaval, if while her husband was alive, she went ahead and was Mama Enes to the husband, the halacha is Muteres Liavi. She is allowed to even marry the relatives, the father of the husband that she was Mima Anison, because she was never married to him. And therefore, there is no Arias that is actually created as a result of marriage, because there was no marriage. And therefore, it's like a father sleeping with a woman that his son had slept with without marriage, and there's no problem over there, as long as there was no Kedushin. Now, if, however, it continues to say in the Braisa, if she was Mema'enes v'yavam, then asur lav. However, if she was married, and then her husband died, and now she goes ahead and is Mema'enes v'yavam to cancel the original marriage, in that case she remains asura to the father. Why is that? Alma b'shas nefila nir'id k'chalato. And that's because at the time that she falls for Yibum, what everybody sees is a daughter-in-law falling for Yibum, because at that point she really was still married. She had not retroactively annulled the marriage. Therefore, it creates at that moment a situation that is defined as a daughter-in-law. So even though afterwards we go back in time, so to speak, and we retroactively cancel and annul the original marriage, and in fact she never is this guy's daughter-in-law, and there should not be any problem, we go according to the appearances at that moment that she was an actual daughter-in-law. So people basically at the time of Yibum become very, very sensitive to the relationships and everybody are talking about it. So we create an issur in that case. Often, honey, if that's the case, we can say that the same thing would be true over here, and that would be Bishas Nefila Nirit Kitzarat Bito. If that's true, then at the time now that she falls to Yibum, it's also so that she looks like Tzoras Bita. And since she looks like Tzoras Bita, there is no way that we can now, just by having her at this point go ahead and bring them an NS and now saying, well, we never really were married, it won't help, because we're not going to be able to be married to the Erva because of the same Gezerah. That's the point. Okay, now as we said earlier, the fact that, according to Ula, it's considered as if she was never married to the brother has interesting implications for the once and never any longer brother-in-laws. What would be the difference? The halacha to them. Am I right? Now the Gemara wants to know, okay, we now understand what Ula said. Okay, that it's possible to directly address Zika with Miyum, which is connected with Ishaya, and that's not a problem. But what we'd like to understand is, how would that really affect other brothers? Let's say there's more than one brother. So Omar Rav, we're going to see that there's three shitas in this. Aliba, this will be the psak here. Omar Rav, Miyana Bazasur Lazer. So let's say she went ahead now and did Yibum to one brother. She's Asura to the other brothers. Midaviya Baalas Get. It's no different than a Yavama to whom one brother gave a get. What's it then over there? Baalata Get Lav Kivan Diistrele Lachad Istrele Lukulu. Is it not so that once you give a get, so even though only one brother gives the get, all of the brothers become Asurter? So the same thing should be true over here. Hachanavi Loshna, where Yavama over here does Miyun. So even though it's only to one brother, but Lamaisa, it becomes now Asura to all of them. Because even though it's true that the whole svara of Ula is that she's Ikeris, the original marriage to the brother who's deceased, and Mi'ikar Adin, she should be Muteris to everybody, but since we've seen already that to people, it looks as if she's considered to be now married to the original husband, and she only acted with the Zika to this Yavam, so Mamela, she becomes now, as we said, Min Rabbonan, she's already Asura for this Yavam. So once that's true, says Rav, and how can you make a difference between this case and the case of a get? They're basically the same case. The Rabbana make a takana, that the Zika is affected by either a get or by Miyun. So the same way that when a get affects the Zika of one brother, it affects everybody. So if that's the case, the same thing should be true about the case over here of Miyun. There should be no nafkamina, and the reason that we made the gzera over there is because people might make the mistake of thinking that just like if I allow a get to affect only one brother, they'll think the chalitz only affects one brother. I'll let the other brother go ahead and do yibum, which is an isukaris. So memela, the halacha, that something that affects Zika to one brother affects all of the brothers, should be across the board, whether it's chalitza, whether it's get, or whether it's miyum. That's Rav's svar. Shmuel, however, says, Shmuel Amar, miyana bezeh mutar bezeh. That's not true. If she did miyum only one brother, then she's not asuris in any of the other brothers. V'lo dami la baalat haget, it's not at all the same as a baalat haget. Why? Because in the Baalat HaGet, Hudaka Avid Ba, when she goes ahead and gets the get, it's the Yavam now who did something to her and therefore affected now the Yivum by doing a get, which is similar to a Chalitza. So over there, it's true that we have to be Gezer, the get, for the Chalitza. But Hachahika of the Bay, over here, she is the one now who is basically acting connected him. Where she says, the Amra, she's saying, Lo re'ina bach v'lo tzavina bach, as we'll see later. The nature of a Miyun is that she says, look, I'm not interested in you, I don't want you, I have no desire for you. And she stresses each time bach. So she's saying, it's bachu de lo re'ina, it's you that I don't want. But the whole mashma'ut is, I would want the other one, I would want the other brother. So that means there's such a tremendous difference between the two. Because when you're dealing with a get, of course it's the same thing, essentially, as a chalitza. There's no way that the Yavam can do something to her that isn't affecting the Etzem Zika, not his own Zika. So whatever it is that he's doing, it's got to affect everybody. Masha Inken, she is not really acting over here on the surface, on the Zika. She is really only establishing who she doesn't like. So even though it's true that theoretically the mechanism of this thing is through the annulment of her marriage to the deceased brother, but since the way in which we achieve this is through the act of Yibum, through the act of Miyun, and that Miyun is only referring to one of them, so why should we think that it's comparable to Chalitza?
So therefore, okay, there's no reason why it should affect any one of the brothers brought the one that she's speaking to. And Enechnami, to the one that she's speaking to, it affects the zika between them, and he can no longer take her, but she still looks as if she's married. Now, there's yet another shita, which according to Rav Asi, if she's miyana bezeh, she's muteres afilu lo. When she does a miyan, she ends up now being muteret even to the brother that she rejected. Now, obviously, I mean, one way of looking at this could have been to simply say that since the halacha is that the zika, according to Ula, the zika is affected by miyun only because the miyun really is on the original marriage and is mevatel the original marriage. So he could have said, okay, if that's the way that it works, so then Lamaisa, on the contrary, she now should be to all of the brothers the same to any stranger because she was never married to their brother. But the Gemara doesn't even consider the possibility that that's what Rav Asi means. Because we know that even though, I mean, the whole mechanism over here is like Ula, that even though that's what Ula was saying, we took it for granted that it's absolutely clear that once it's established in people's mind that at the time of the death there is a relationship, then that cannot be changed by the technicalities of now annulling that relationship. So there, for sure, she would become now Asura at least to this brother if there is a Zika that's going to be affected by the Mion. So there's no way that Rav Asi could have gone ahead and said that the reason that she's Muteres is because there is, in fact, no Zika at all and never was, because that was never something that we even entertained as a possibility. It was clear to us that consistently the Masechta has always assumed that at the moment of death, if something appears to be a particular relationship, we maintain that relationship at least to the one that was involved in any further elements of it, such as the one over here who got the immune from it. Therefore, the only explanation that we can come up with is the opposite one. And that actually Rav Asi basically says that there is no way to be Mima'enis at all if you're trying to be Mima'enis to anything but a Ma'amar. And since over the year the case is that she's Miyana in the Etzem Zika, so Lema says the Gemara, Lema Rav Oshaya, severely. Apparently Rav Asi holds, like Rav Oshaya who argues with Ula, and who says, the Omar Ina Mima'enis the Zika so. According to him, it's impossible now to do a miyun to Zika at all. How can you affect the Zika? The Zika is not something which I can directly address with my miyun, since it has nothing to do with me. It's something that just happened to me by virtue of my original marriage. He doesn't agree with the mechanisms that Ula introduced, which are that actually what we're doing is we're addressing the initial marriage to the deceased brother. And therefore, since there's no way to be Mima Enes, so maybe what he's saying is that there's the same Zika there always was, in the same way that Zika is something that initially allowed her to be Mityabemis to any one of the Yavamim. So the fact that she went ahead and spoke up against one of the Yavams has absolutely no meaning. Even though Ula personally, of course, doesn't hold that. Ula himself holds that the fact that she went ahead and did that, that would of course, affect it, because he says, Shaya Zika, but if I hold like Rav Oshaya, so then if that's the case, I can go ahead now and marry even the brother that I did the useless Miyun to. Says the Gemara, no, that's not true. Because the truth is, B'chad Yavam, Hochinami Dematziakr, it's not that Rav Asi holds that you can't do Yibam to Zika, like Rav Oshaya. If we were talking about a case where there was only one Yavam, which is not what we're dealing with here, these three shitas of Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi are all trying to define a relationship in multiple brothers where she did Yibam to one of them. But the truth is that Rav Asi differs fundamentally from Rav Oshaya. Because according to Rav Asi, if there was only one Yavam, she could cancel the Zika entirely. And in that case, if she would, so then in Hakinami, she would be the same way as Ula said, that even in a case where she does, she remains Asura, you would agree that she remains Asura. But over here, this doesn't make any sense, because we have two Yavam. And all she's doing is she's being Mima'enes in one, and while she's being Mima'enes in that one, she's making it clear to us, well, it's only you I don't want, but I do want the other one. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Either she cancels the original Nisun, or she doesn't cancel it. If she's not saying that she wants it canceled, so then Lamaisa, you can't have a thing, Ein Miyun L'Chatzi Zika. There is no way in which going ahead and saying I don't like one of multiple Yavamim should be an actual Zika for the original marriage, because it isn't. And therefore, in this particular case, Ein Hachinami, it doesn't work at all. That's the meaning. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that miyana bezem muter pachim, that if she went ahead and she was mima enes to one of the brothers and went ahead lechora to deal with the zika itself, she's muteres to the achim, which we assume right now means to all of the brothers. She's muteres v'lo hodulu, and the other Chachomim did not agree with Rav Yochanan. Now, when we say Lo Hodulo, who is that? Omer Abaye means Rav, because after all, Rav Shita all along was very much the opposite of Rav Yochanan. Rav held that she's asur to all of the Achim. Rav Yochanan is saying she's muteres to all of the Achim. So that means, however, if Abaye is saying that it's Rav, the mashmos is that only Rav here is the problem. But the other Shitas, that is Rav Oshaya Shita, or Rav Asi, could agree. In other words, it could be that Rav Oshaya is saying that, look, Mion Bichlal never affects Zika directly. Memela, she's muteris to all of the Achim, because she never did anything. Rav Asi could also hold like that, because he's saying there was no Mion, because it was only a half a Mion. It was a Mion for half a Zika. So the Mion is ridiculous. So there's nothing in Rav Asi or Rav Oshaya that necessarily means that we have to disagree with Rav Yochanan. There is, however, in Rav, it's clear it's completely different. Now, the truth is that Lechora, Shmuel would also have to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, because Shmuel held that she is muteris to the Achim, meaning only the ones to whom she wasn't mima'enes. Whereas the way we understand Rabbi Yochanan now is that she's muteris to all of the Achim. So, you know, chinami, it means normally, it's shayach to say, this is how the Balamor learns, that it's shayach to say that when I say Rav, I mean Ravu Machlukuso, meaning the Rav and the one with whom Rav usually argues, but it may be referenced to Shmuel. So Rava says, no, the one who argues on Rav Yochanan over here is Rav Oshaya. He's the one who argues. Because when you're saying that Rav Yochanan holds she's muteres la'achim, it means even the one that was the Baal Hamim. So Rava says over here that when he says that she's muteres la'achim notices Lashon Rabbi, which means that only if there was more than one ach, that's when she's muteres. So that means that essentially Rav Yochanan is saying exactly what Rav Asi said, that there's no such thing as a mion for a chatzi zika. Now, Rav Oshaya said beferish that there's no such thing as a mion bechlal on zika, meaning even if there would be only one yavam. So that means that Rav Yochanan is saying basically what Rav Asi says, but is saying the opposite of what Rav Oshaya says. For sure he's saying the opposite of Rav. That's not going to Rav. She's a sort to everybody. But this means that being medayik in the Lashon, it means that I see that he's chaylik not only on Rav, but on Rav Oshaya as well. And some say Amri la Rav Asi. Some say that when Rav Yochanan, that's the other meaning of what Rav was saying, is that when Rav Yochanan said she's muteres la'achim, he meant the achim other than the one that was given mion. And that was basically what Shmuel was saying, that the brother that had the mion, it was us. Remember that Shmuel held it's not similar to a get. So that means that Rav Yochanan is chaylik with Rav Asi and with Rav Oshaya, and according to them, and Rav Asi holds that she's muteres even to the Baal Amion. And of course, he's chaylik on Rav, who holds that she's muteres to everybody. Esther to everybody. Okay, so now, basically, what we've done so far, and admittedly, this is a somewhat complex sugya. What we've done so far is we've taken the first machlokas in the Mishnah, and we've given three explanations for that first machlokas. The first machlokas, remember, was that according to Beit Shammai, you can only do Mion from Erisin, and according to Beit Hillel, you can do Mion even from Nisun. What were the three explanations? Explanation number one was that they're arguing about the fear of people's confusion of a case where somebody made a tznai, which is annuls the marriage, to a case where she's mima'enis, which annuls the marriage. And since a tznai doesn't work, according to Beit Shammai, in cases where there was already a nisuin, because of chibas bia or because of chibas chupa, so therefore we made across the board, there's no such thing as an annulment of a marriage after nisuin. And the Beis Hillel held that there's a simple way that people know there's a difference between an annulment that comes from a tznai and an annulment that comes because of a ketana. The second way we understood it, which was going according to Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, that the reason of Beit Shammai is because they know the mice to be less. And according to Beis Hillel, the very fact that it's sanctified by Kiddushin or by a ksuva is enough of a reason for a person to feel happy with the marriage, and there's no problem. And then the third approach was Rav Papa's approach. And Rav Papa, he said that the machlokas revolves around how best to protect the property of the ketana, whether the Baal is more likely to basically trample over her property, get the most out of it while she's his, before she's mibayanes, or whether on the contrary, because of his fear of mion, this is what Beis Hillel would hold, he would be even more careful to treat it with great dignity so that she won't be encouraged by her family to be mima'enes. Rava says that the problem was the question of Eidanam Terech B'Suda Mavsida, that we don't want
a guy is not going to go ahead and go through a marriage with the whole Patsy Chasveh if she could just walk out on him. And that's what Beit Shammai is saying. So in the male, it's counterproductive to the whole point of creating a mechanism for the Nisui Ketana. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, on the contrary, well, I would say on the contrary, but the desire to be called a married couple is sufficient to make a person go ahead and take his chances, despite the fact that she might walk out on him. Okay, those are the four initial approaches. Then we have the second machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai says you can only do Yivam towards a husband, and Beis Hillel holds you can do Yivam even towards a Yavam. Now, it was there that we got into the complexity of understanding Beis Hillel. Remember that Rav Hoshaya said, when Beis Hillel says you can do Yivam to a Yavam, he meant only you can do, to a Yavam, you can do Miyun to Ma'amar, that's given to a Yavama by a Yavam, which is a Drabonan, and the same way that the Ma'amar for a Gedola requires a get, like a marriage, the Ma'amar to a Ketana requires or can be affected by a Miyun, like a marriage. But to try to uproot a zika of the actual yibum, that there's no way to do, says Rav Hoshaya. So the zika is something that falls upon them from the sky, so to speak. In other words, it's the Torah's gezeira that there's a concept of zika, and therefore you can't affect the person, you don't like the guy. That's Rav Hoshaya's approach. Ula's approach is that no, you can be mema'enes even for zika because you're going ahead and you're annulling the original marriage. And so we have two very different approaches in what it means to do miyun to a yavam. And despite the fact that it would be oikar the original marriage, it's clear from the opening Mishnah that nonetheless you can't change the way people look at it. There's no way we could possibly go ahead and be matir tzaras erva or be matir the relatives of the original marriage, such as the father and so on. Now, the question that we got into after that was, okay, how about, according to Ula, that it is possible to affect Zika, how about if there were multiple brothers? That's the question. So there we had a three-way machlokas. We had Rav's approach that if she goes ahead and does miyun to one of the brothers, it's the equivalent of getting a get from one of the brothers. She can no longer have a relationship with any of the brothers. Shmuel's approach was that it's not similar to a get, and when she is mima enes for a zika, although she's asura to the one that she gave the miyun to, she is the one who is acting, and therefore she can define by her act who it is she's acting against, and she remains now muteret to all of the other brothers. Rav Asi says the miyun has no impact at all where there's multiple brothers because you can't do a half annulment of a marriage, and therefore, since she is only rejecting one of the brothers, how in the world could she possibly be okeret the marriage vis-a-vis one brother? That doesn't make any sense. And so according to Rav Asi, there is no such thing. Then we had the story of Rabbi Yochanan, which was a little bit unclear what it is precisely he meant when he said Miyana Bazemuterd La'achim, and it was not clear who exactly the Chachomim that we said didn't agree with him, who it was referring to. Now assuming that when he said Muterd La'achim, he meant all of the Achim, so then obviously Rav disagrees with him, if that's what it means. Obviously Shmuel disagrees with him. That's not a question. Rav and Shmuel disagree with him. And perhaps nobody else would disagree with him. That's Abaya's. That was what Abaya's opinion was. Rava said that it's not true. Even Rav Hoshaya would disagree with him, because when Rabbi Yochanan said that she's muteres la'achim, he seems to be limiting this case only to a case of multiple brothers, which means that he holds like Rav Asi and against Rav Hoshaya, because according to Rav Hoshaya, miyun, even if there's only one yavam, cannot work against the actual zika itself. And others say that we're being chaylik over here. The ones who are chaylik is a reference to Rav Asi. He's the one that was chaylik as well, and that's what it means, because Rav Asi was being matir even to the brother who gets the miyun. And according to this approach, Rav Yochanan didn't mean that. Rav Yochanan meant she's muteres la'achim, it means only to the other brothers. Essentially what it was that Shmuel was saying. So we have, therefore, quite a few different approaches. According to Rav Hoshaya, miyun bechlal doesn't work on Zika, even if there's only one, and all that Beisel was referring to was Maimer. According to Ula, miyun works for Beisel even from Zika, where there's only one brother, and she can't marry that brother ever again. And then we have now three shitas about what the halacha is when there were multiple brothers. And then there's different ways of understanding Rabbi Yochanan. Either it's consistent with Shmuel, it's consistent now with Rav Asi, and so on. Okay, getting on now to the Mishnah, we now have the third machlokas in the Mishnah. So Beit Shammai says, Bifanav Shalom. Bifanav, according to Beis Hillel, only Bifanav, according to Beis Hillel, Bein Bifanav, Bein Shalom Bifanav. What exactly is the machlokas? It's expressed a little bit better in the Brisa. Tanya. Amrulah and Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai.
Valo, let me ask you something. Halo Pishon Hagamal. How about Pishon, the camel driver? Wasn't the case over there that Miana Ishto Shelo Befanav, didn't his Kitana wife do Mian when he was away, as camel drivers often are, and she went out and did Mian, she couldn't take it anymore for his going out on these long caravan rides, and the Beis Din accepted the Mian. Well, and Beit Shammai la Beit Hillel, so Beit Shammai says, Pishon Hagamal. Is that it? Is what you want to bring the raya? Pishon Hagamal b'midak efusham adat. What was going on over there is that he was basically using his Ketana wife's property, because what he did over here is he would take a measuring cup and use it upside down. So in other words, that means he was basically cheating. It's a way of talking about the way in which a person does all type of cheating. So he was basically ruining the Nichse Maluk. And Lafichach Madadullah ben Mida Kefusha, they treated him in a way that was cheating. And there's Enochinami, it shouldn't have been accepted the Mian. But if that's the way he was going to treat his wife, so to protect her, they went ahead and they accepted the Mian and they prevented him from using any more of her money. Mida Ka'acho Peri, Pshita Nesuhi. Now, wait, just one second. So in other words, you're telling me that Bishon was going ahead and eating the Paris of Nichse Maluk and thereby destroying his wife's property. So then it must be that she had already gone to the chuppah, but I thought Beit Shammai holds that someone who was in a suah b'chlal can't be mima enes. So how in the world could she, what is Beit Shammai saying over here that his wife was mima enes? The issue is not over here whether it's b'fonav or shalom b'fonav. The issue is b'chlal that she's not even able to do miyun because she was in a suah. And it says, well, you're right, tricky tree avibe. They actually tied him in knots twice. In other words, they did shalom kedin in terms of two different things. First of all, they allowed her, because of what he was doing, to do Mian, even though she was in a suah, and they were mevatel the gezeira to save her property, and they allowed her to go ahead and to do Mian shelo b'fanav. Therefore, it says, Beit Shammai, would you bring the Uriah from the case of Pishon? This was an emergency. But normally, she wouldn't have been able to do Mian at all. It's in a suah, and even if she had been in Arusa, she would only have been able to do Mian when her Baal was at the place that was present. It's interesting. I mean, it does this prince, the whole Yerushalmi over here. How is it possible that, I mean, they would be matir, a mian, where there was no mechanism of mian, stam? I mean, just because, okay, I understand you're angry at Pishon, but you can't just go ahead and be mavatel hol takana. So from here, Yerushalmi brings a raya. Ooh, better make some more room here. So Yerushalmi brings a raya from here that Beit Shammai are made that b'diyev that mian ischa. And that they're only saying, lechatchila, you can't do mian for the suah. Lechatchila, you can't do mian unless it's befanav. And if that's the case, and this here, by where they were trying to be matzah, and they wanted to be kenis pishon, so they allowed a b'dieved to be a lechatchila. But it's not that the mechanism was ignored. Fine. Now, there's also the fourth machlokas in a Mishnah. And that was that according to Beit Shammai, the mian has to be b'fnei bezdin, and according to Beis Hillel, it's b'fnei bezim shalom, b'fnei bezdin. It's not hasam, no. There's also an admission in Sanhedrin that says a chalitza v'amiyonim bishosha. You need to do chalitza and miyon in a bezdin l'chazon. You need to have three judges. Mantana. Who said that Mishnah? So Omar Rabba, look, what do you got to do? You got to bite the bullet. Obviously, that Mishnah is Beit Shammai, because I mean, here Beis Hillel is saying that you don't need to be in bezdin. So why would you need to have three judges? You don't need any judges. Abai Omar Afilu Teima Beis Hillel. This is not true. It could work out fine according to Beis Hillel that you don't need a bezdin. But Atkan lo kam Beis Hillel Elul Bina Mumchim. When he was saying you don't need a bezin, he means you don't need a technical bezin. You don't have to have mumchim that have smicha, and therefore, I'm talking about real smicha, of course, but going back to Meishra, I think it was Roy to be sitting in Sanhedrin, that you don't need. But certainly, shlosha b'ina, it could be that the meaning of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that's expressing bishleisha, means bishleisha she'ena mumchim. Kedetanya, and it says, b'feresh and b'raisa, the b'shami, omrim b'fnei b'ezdin, u'b'sil omrim b'fnei b'ezdin, v'shalo b'fnei b'ezdin. But, and here's the crucial thing, ve'il ve'il me'lim, shetzarek shlosha. Nonetheless, b'sil is also made that you need three. It's just that you don't need three mumchim. So obviously, they're not arguing about three. So it seems from here that it's clear what Abai is saying, that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin could be going, I'll leave the Beis Hillel, absolutely. The Maisa, the Machlokas over here, seems to be, according to Beis Shammai, we're trying to make it more difficult to be Mima Enes. Mimela, we don't allow the typical allowance of that we can take Shleisha Dayanim that are not right for a Sanhedrin because of the Sfar of Shlichus. They're doing the Shlichus of the Beis Din HaGadol. But we will only do that when we want to make it easy for these dinim to be applied. Beit Shammai holds that we're not interested in helping Mian. Mian is a tough thing that we were mad to. Okay, so it seems that there's very strong reason to believe that the Mishnah in the Sanhedrin is going Ali B'Dei Beis Hillel as well. We paskin, indeed, like, oops, I'm sorry, I skipped. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshir, Mishnai. They hold that Mian is kosher with two. And Omer Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav, and Rabbi Nachman, Halacha Kosher Zug. We paskin like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And indeed, that if you went ahead and did it, so they would be Machshir, Hafilu B'Shloisha. But the concept of Machshir is means that it's B'diavad. But that L'chore, you need still to have Shloisha L'chatchila. It's only B'diavad. If you do B'Shloisha, it would be kosher. Not everybody agrees with this, because of many Rishonim, including the Rambam, some learn Rashi also, that once we say it like this, we mean even Lechatchila, and that there's no need for three if you're Machshir with two. And then we have now the fifth inyan in the Mishnah, where we have a Machlokas. According to this, so Rabbi Basil holds that it doesn't matter how many times she goes ahead and does Mion, she go ahead and get married again, and be Menas again, again, and again, and again, and Beisharmai says, what kind of business is this? What do you think, Menas Yisrael or Hefker? She has to wait until she grows up, and then she's Mimaenes and gets married. That's the Gemara instant. What do you mean, and then she's Mimaenes? She was Mimaenes. The whole question was whether she get remarried again and be Mimaenes. Well, Mianachodazim, so why are you saying that she needs to be Mimaenes as a Gedela? There's no such thing as a Gedela. So why should she now, once again, be Mimaenes? How can it be that Bichamai is saying that you do Mian as a Gedela to the same guy that she was married to and had already been Mimaenes to? Well, my Shmuel, it doesn't mean that. It means, she has to grow up and say that, yes, I'm telling you now that I really meant the Mian. I was upset and I didn't want to be with this guy and so on. But if she would change her mind and she would say that, nah, I don't know what I was talking about, I was in a bad mood, but that's time I want to be remain married to this guy, then Enochinani, it would still be a marriage from before. Ula Amar Tartektani. Ula says, no, you're getting mixed up over here. We're talking about two separate cases. When we're talking about the Mian in the Mishnah at the end, it doesn't mean the second Mian is the same thing. We have to separate the Mishnah into two cases. Here's how to understand it. Oshitama'en. So either she does Mian as the Ketana, and then V'takdil V'tayarish, she'll have to wait until she becomes a Gedela, and then she can go ahead and find another guy and get married. That's not a problem, because you can only use Mian once. So therefore, what the Beit Shammai said was that if you did Mian, then if you go ahead and get married again, so then it's not shayach to have the type of erisin that will allow Mian. So therefore, if you go ahead now and you get married, it would have to be mitzad adin, mitzad din tayr. That's only after she becomes a gedela, and therefore you can't have Mian. That's one possibility. The other meaning, the other case is, or she can now go ahead and do Mian, and she now can go ahead and do Nisuin immediately, so that Tima'in would therefore be understood as an or, not an and. So in other words, Bechamai is saying, look, if she insists, she wants to go ahead and get married, there's no way that she can have a marriage that is going to allow her to be Mima'inus. But since I hold that when you go ahead and you have Nisuin, there's no way to be Mima'enes. So what she can do is either she can wait till she gets married, even just Be'erisin, but as a Gedela, so then there'd be no way she could be Mima'enes, or she could go ahead now, and she could do Nisuin. And if she does Nisuin, then she's also not going to be able to be Mima'enes. But she cannot create a relationship to which she could be Mima'enes. So now, Mishlema Ula, okay, the way Ula's understanding it, that it's two different cases, Hainu Gitani, that would explain the Mishnah's words, Achitek Dio, Utima'en V'tinasei. So it says over here that she should do Nisuin, because those are two different ways of making sure that there's not going to be any Mian. But according to Shmuel, that the Mian is basically the second Mian that confirms her original Mian. So, Achitakdil Vitomar, what does it say? That she's Mima'enes, it should say, until she gets to be a Gedela and confirms that what she said was that, yes, I accept that Mian, but it's not, it certainly doesn't need another Mian. And certainly, what's the Tina say have to do with it over here? Therefore, it's more mashma, like Ula, kasha. That's really true. According to Shmuel, it's not at all clear the language here.